Well, good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to the July 12th edition of the Ag Market Network, our monthly cotton marketing broadcast. My name is Pat McClatchy. I'm the moderator of the program. And our broadcast is brought to you by BASF. As you know, BASF are the owners of Fibermax and Stoneville Cottonseed. We appreciate them. They are a longtime sponsor, and they do make this program possible for you to listen to. Our lead cotton speaker today is Gerald Nieper, and he'll be joined by Dr. O.A. Cleveland, Kip Butts, and Dr. John Robinson. Well, Gerald, thanks for being with us and giving us your thoughts on the cotton market.
Well, Pat, thank you. I'm not sure what my thoughts are on the cotton market. Obviously, New York didn't take a whole lot of the numbers. We ended up the day higher, surprisingly. But let's just kind of go through some things that struck out immediately. I guess on world consumption, they raised world consumption 1,050,000 bales. China was increased 500,000. Pakistan was reduced 500,000, so that's zero. The U.S. was raised 1 million. So outside of the U.S., there was, I don't even know who the other was that accounted for 50,000 bales of increased world consumption, but that's where you got, 1,050,000 bales in world consumption, or world production. I'm sorry, I misspoke. Now, versus a year ago, world production is up six, and I'm talking about, I'm sorry, I should have started over. Let me start over. I'm talking about the 24-25 crop year. So they raised world consumption by 1 million bales. World consumption for 24-25 is up 6.5 million bales, and U.S. production is up 4.9 million. So really outside of the United States, there's not a big increase in world production. India is down 1,200,000. Pakistan is down 700,000. Turkey is up 800,000. And Brazil is up 2.1 million bales from a year ago. So a pretty good year-over-year increase in production. Not so big of a change in month-over-month in terms of 24-25 crop year. For world consumption, USDA has got world consumption up 3.9 million bales versus a year ago and 258,000 bales versus the June number. India was increased by 300,000 bales versus June, and Pakistan was reduced 300,000 bales. Other adjustments in consumption for 24-25 were very small. Malaysia was up 275,000 bales, and there were some minor changes elsewhere. So, that 300,000 bale offsetting number between India and Pakistan was made up by a 275,000 bale increase in Malaysia. Speaking of Malaysia, it's interesting to note that the USDA went back and adjusted Malaysian domestic use all the way back to 2017-18. Increased it all the way from 80,000 bales in 2017, and it gradually increased up to 275,000 bales for 24-25. Collectively, all those adjustments in Malaysia reduced ending stocks in Malaysia by a whopping 1.25 million bales, which is surprising since Malaysia doesn't really consume that much cotton to begin with. But still, that's a big reduction in Malaysian stocks. Let me look here, something else. On world exports were adjusted only slightly for 24-25. They were down 300,000 bales from the previous month, and they reduced Indian exports by 400,000. Didn't do anything with the U.S., left the U.S. alone for 24-25. At 13 million bales. Now, what USDA did do was reduce U.S. exports for 23-24 from 11.8 down to 11.6 million bales. If anybody's been following the export sales report, weekly sales report, you know, the shipment numbers have not been very positive for U.S. exports. Commitments are good, but shipments are not so good. You know, historically, you could sit there and on any given year, look at commitments of cotton in the U.S. and calculate roughly 90 to 94% of those commitments were going to get shipped. You know, and this year we're barely at 80%. Those bales will get shipped at some point. It just may not happen this crop year. So we're probably going to have a little larger than normal shipment period during the first, let's say, quarter of this new crop year, call it August, September, October, than we normally get, just to account for these numbers. The world ending stocks are estimated to be down 866,000 bales versus the June number, but up 3.3 million bales versus 23-24. The U.S. is up 1.2 million bales. You know, a million bale increase in production combined with a 200,000 bale decrease in last year's exports, which get carried over into this year's beginning stocks. That's what accounted for the 1.2 million bale increase. India was down 700,000. Brazil was going to be up 100,000 versus last month. So, you know, kind of a friendly number there from an ending stock number year over year or month over month. Year over year, ending stocks are estimated to be up 3.3 million bales. And of that 3 million bales, the U.S. is expected to account for 2.25 million of the 3.3 million bale increase. Brazil is their ending stocks are expected to increase 900,000 bales. Everyone else is pretty static. You got China down 500,000. You have India and Pakistan collectively up 750,000 bales, and Bangladesh up 150,000 bales. So, you know, nothing big, too exciting there. Let's talk a little bit about U.S. production. Well, actually, for a moment, let's look at world production. World production is estimated at 120.2 million bales of cotton. And what I wanted to point out with that is that USDA, in calculating that number, they're coming up with a new record for world yield at 720 pounds per acre. And so, you know, there's a possibility that world production could come down a little bit at some point. But just because that's a fairly decent leap from the previous year in terms of the yield number, not that it's not justified. I mean, yield has been below trend 7 out of the last 8 years and 8 out of the last 10 years. So it's about time that yield probably picked up a little bit of the slack, you know, worldwide. For U.S. production is estimated at now at 17 million bales versus last month at 16 million bales. In the month of August, you know, we're going to get, you know, the results, a crop estimate that's going to come out of NAS rather than USDA, NAS being the National Agricultural Statistics Service. That's when they're going to be doing some phone surveys. They won't be doing any on-site surveys that I'm aware of, but certainly phone surveys are going to be taken, and they're going to come up with some sort of a yield estimate. But, you know, based upon that million-acre increase in June plantings at the end of June, you know, USDA increased the percentage of abandonment just a little bit. They went from 14.4% in the June estimate up to 17.1% in the July estimate. They increased, and if you make some assumption for what all the other regions are going to do out there, and I assumed a 3% abandonment across the far west, the mid-south, and the southeast, and that might even actually be a little bit low. But assuming 3% across those three regions, then the southwestern region, Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, they increased abandonment from 23% up to 27%. And that may not be enough, but I don't think it's completely unfair. West Texas has had some decent showers here. They certainly haven't been widespread. There have been some hailstorms that have knocked out a few acres here and there. But overall, the crop in West Texas, and John, you probably can back me up on this, the overall crop in West Texas looks has a lot better potential than it has in quite some time, at least versus the previous 2 years when they had almost no rain at all. We don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year, but I think that's only fair. That plus another thing that's sort of interesting that's happening out in West Texas, you know, you've had so many dry land acres get abandoned and over the last 2 years that, you know, you're starting to lose some insurance companies out there, or they're threatening to leave. And I think the risk management agency is putting a little pressure on these adjusters to be a little more conscientious about, you know, given the crop a chance to produce rather than to just zero it out. From what I understand, crops that normally would have been zeroed out over the last couple of years, you know, these adjusters are saying, hey, maybe you need to take this on, you know, on a little further, and we'll look at it later down the road. So what we may end up seeing in Texas this year is a slightly lower abandonment and maybe even lower overall yields as we go through the season. But of course, we got a lot of days left in the season before we even come to any hard conclusions on any of that. You know, I sort of skipped all over the place, and if anybody wants to jump in and tell me, Gerald, you're an idiot, you forgot to mention this, I'm happy to listen. So, Pat, that's pretty much the numbers. You know, you can tell by the market reaction today that nobody really knew what to do with these numbers because there wasn't any reaction to speak of. You know, we went down a little bit right after the numbers kind of came out, and then the market rallied. So it's not really clear that that at least the market feels so, you know, so convinced that these numbers were that negative.
All right, well, let's open it up. Any comments from anyone else?
Yeah, this is John. I just wanted to agree with everything Gerald said about the kind of the state and description of the Texas crop, the West Texas crop. There's just from what I've seen in my non-representative windshield observations here lately, there's a lot of, you know, good stands, not particularly skippy. The plants are short, you know, they're still small, but there's stands of dry land out there where I haven't seen any in a few years. Yeah, so that's there. Obviously, like Gerald said, it's early. We've got to see what happens. But there's room for hope. So people are cautiously optimistic. They need to be lucky with ongoing rains. And I also heard exactly what you said about, Gerald, of what you said about crop insurance adjusters being a little more stingy. I've heard that in, I think, a couple of conversations in the last week. So I think you're right on.
Kip?
Well, I really can't add much to what Gerald said. I thought you did a good job of covering everything. The one thing that I agree with your comment, the market really didn't know what to do with this. I'm a little concerned that we've got a U.S. ending stock at over 5 million bales right now estimated. As you say, we got a long way to go for that to be realized, but that in and of itself is pretty hard to get real bullish about. If that's realized, you know, later in the year, we're probably going to move the market to some level of carry to try to handle that large ending stock number. I'm not sure that we're going to be able to export enough quickly. The point you made, which I think is also probably on the mark, I don't think we're going to get enough of that to really keep the market from going to carry and be a little bit bearish, at least for the U.S. perspective. And we're going to have to see, I think, a bit, although they did increase the domestic mill use not only on a monthly basis, but pretty strong from last year, we're going to have to see a little better demand with these kind of production numbers, I think, too. It's not necessarily bearish, but it certainly is not, in my mind, bullish right now. Does that make sense? I know what I was trying to say.
Kip, I didn't quite understand. What I thought I heard you say was that because of the larger production, we would get better demand. Gerald gave us the opportunity to jump all over him. He said we didn't think he knew what he was talking about. So I'm chomping at the bit, but I got to get that out first. Okay, you didn't say that. Sound like you, but I wasn't sure what to say or do. Thank you.
If I did say that, it was unintentional. I said we're going to have to get better demand in order, because we've got such large stocks. And I'm not sure, given, although we saw an increase, I'm not sure there's enough there to take care of this this large production, and particularly from a U.S. perspective. So I may not have said what I meant, and thank you for
I appreciate it. Given my advanced age, it's difficult for me to hear things or say things correctly. Very often, I'm still just so excited about Gerald telling us to have at it. If we didn't think he knew what he was talking about, that I can't be here lucid with my tongue in. But I'm struck on is that, and not picking on anybody. Y'all had just about convinced me to turn a little more optimistic, and I've been the big bear, and I'm still stuck and struck on the fact that our demand numbers are so poor. And Kip, not to pick on you, but to amplify what you warned us about more so than anyone else some 5 or 6, 7 years ago, was watch out for bamboo. Now, we all know bamboo's been around for at least 20 years, but it's just been a little bit here and a little bit there. And someone pointed me out to literally this week to Hanes Underwear Magazine. And you had to get to page 4 before you found any cotton. The first 4 pages had bamboo in it. I'm seeing on television down here in the deep south where it's hot and humid, I just see all kinds of advertisements for bamboo, for men's bamboo shirts. And I ain't seen a television ad for cotton in 20 years. I don't know what happened to the fabric of our lives, but we decided to take it off television, and here comes bamboo. I'm just extremely concerned about demand. I'm extremely concerned about the promotion of cotton. We quit that. And the cotton industry seems like we just need to get together and have some sort of a summit. It's gotten that bad because these numbers, so striking, as I think it was Gerald commented, that we had this million bale increase in production. And they didn't change demand, and they didn't change exports at all, which is just unheard of. I don't think I have literally, strong word, ever seen that. And it strikes a bit of fear as to what's going to happen there, particularly given, as Gerald did note, that 75 or 66% of the increase in world carryover is the year-to-year increase in world carryover sitting here in the United States. So all that just, bothers me a little bit. Now, to pick on Gerald just a little bit, commitments are good, as he said, and to use his word, good, export commitments, and they are good, except I want to change that. They're okay. They're good if you compare them to what we've seen the last 12 months, but they're not good if you compare them to what we've seen the last 1 year, 2 year, 5 years, whatever. They're just okay, i.e., again, demand. Now, hopefully this is just an anomaly and the demand is going to pick up, but I think it's a strong message that USDA sends us when we say, when it tells us that we're increasing our production a million bales and they're not changing exports at all. And that's where probably a third to a half of any increase in demand and any increase in production in past years would go. It would go strictly to exports. So, you know, y'all just jump all over me. And before I get too far gone on picking on Gerald, if you want to talk cotton, if you want to sell cotton, I'd talk to him first. I would. Or if I wanted to buy or sell futures, I'd talk to him first. Now, most everything else, I'd talk to him last. But if I want to talk about cotton, I'd talk to him first. Thank you.
I think you make a very good point about they didn't increase, you know, U.S. exports. They really didn't change world exports at all, which means they didn't change, you know, really hardly anything on world imports. I'm sitting here looking at changes in world exports, and there was hardly anything done. You know, they reduced India's down by month over month, down 400,000 bales, and everybody else in terms of the major exporters are unchanged. And, unfortunately, Brazil is just, you know, it's kind of a juggernaut right now, and I'm not sure what we can do about that other than just get cheaper, you know, to blunt some of their exporting capacity. And, of course, Australia's got a bigger crop, so I think in light of the fact that, you know, we've got bigger Australian, bigger Brazilian crops, I think export demand is pretty decent, you know, under those circumstances. But I agree with you. I mean, versus the last, 5 years, I mean, you know, we're well behind. You know, we're almost a million bales behind last year at this time in terms of commitments. So, but we didn't have the cotton to sell anyway, and I guess that's one thing that's kind of hurting us this year is we just didn't have the cotton to sell. And then, you know, again, to your point on the demand side, if we'd had the strong demand, I don't know that you would have seen as many bales come to the board as we did, and all of a sudden this thing is, you know, trying to trade carry instead of being an inverted market. So that's just another example of you know, poor demand, at least for U.S. cotton here in the very short term. I'm a little bit optimistic, too, as far as price is concerned. You know, you can sit here and make a bear case, and it's pretty easy to make a bear case, particularly with these ending stock numbers, you know, staring us in the face. But, you know, we're down here at 70 cents, basically. You know, volume has been small. There's no real interest in trying to sell this down right now. I mean, growers aren't interested in selling. I just think that the longer we just sort of sit here and trade sideways and just don't do a whole lot, I think we're going to try to make another run. I don't know how far we can run, but I think we've got a shot to at least try to get, you know, above 75 cents and maybe even up to 78 cents at some point. But that would be about as far as I think you could stretch this market right now, given everything that's facing us.
There is a very big coiled spring in the form of a large, the hedge fund net shorts. They're still sitting there, and if something's a weather report or, you know, something scares them out of that position, they're going to have to buy their way out. There could be a short covering rally that'll do exactly what you're just saying, Gerald.
Yeah, well, Gerald, I would certainly agree with you, John. And Gerald, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm just someone. Since Gerald basically started giving his forecast on prices, and he mentioned 75 to 78 on the upside. Gerald, let's go ahead and get your thoughts on the downside. Where is the support up under the market?
Well, you know, I guess you could sit there and say, you know, wherever July went off the board, and what did it go off the board at, like 66.90 or something, I guess that would be, That would be support. I mean, you know, usually in these instances where you've got carry, when that nearby month goes off, you know, the next month up in line, that's being December, will, you know, try to make its way down there at some point. So I suppose 67, I would say 67 to 68 cents should be good support. And, you know, 75 to 78 is going to be resistance. Pat.
Okay. Kip, what are your ideas on price?
Well, I hate it when this happens, but I might be a little bit lower on the downside, but I'm right in with what he says on the upside. We may see 65 cents, or maybe even slightly lower than that, but that's, you know, predicated on the crop being realized, and we don't see much of a change in the export demand. So, as we mentioned a couple of times earlier, there's a long way yet to go. But right now, if this is what's realized, I think there's a little bit more potential for a short-term rally, but the prices go down lower and probably around the mid-60s.
And your upside is the same as Gerald's?
The same as Gerald's. So maybe 76, 75, 76, 77 cents, somewhere in that range. We're going to have something to get us, I think, something around 80 cents. It's going to something special.
Okay. John?
Well, yeah, 66 is one limit move down from where we are, so we can always do that. I would say there's the possibility, you know, there's still a lot of things that could happen this summer, and the crop could get downgraded, and those hedge funds shorts could get scared, and if they just, it'd be a short run thing, but they could run us up to 78, I would think. So I'll say that.
Oh, what are you thinking?
Well, I had started writing my weekly article, and I keep trying to erase it, but it won't erase. I have an 80 cent in my article, and that's just absurd. But I have written that down. I see.
Wait. You said 80?
80. Yes, 80. But what? This is not between now and next month at all. I don't have any. I'm not any more than 75 cents between now and the next report sometime in August. But I can see after we get into August and we get a little bit better feel for the crop, I can see December an absolute drop dead max at 80 cents. But, and remember, I'm still the huge bear on demand, and I don't see anything, literally nothing, that's going to improve cotton demand. The consumer has just abandoned U.S. cotton. But I still have 80 cents there. I'm looking for a 75-cent tag up between now and the next report. After that, I do see 80 cents there. What is so staggering to me, and Gerald, I was a little late coming on, and you may have mentioned this, but this was, if you look at just U.S. numbers, this is probably the most bearish report I've ever seen in my lifetime, which stretches a lot of years. And the market went up. Now, granted, the world numbers were down, showed a tighter stock, so that was, in fact, bullish. But I would say here we have an extremely bearish report and the market goes up. So what is it we're missing? There's something we're missing. Now, I'm going to swear that I'm not missing demand. Demand is as sloppy and horrible as it can be. But there's just something out there that I'm not seeing. I'll leave it at that. But I have a low of 67, 68. I think the market is really trying to suggest to us that it doesn't want to do anything below 70 cents. 70 cents is certainly not a hard floor, but it's a pretty good floor there. I'll leave it at that, Pat.
Okay.
One last commentary. You know, we haven't had our New York annual meeting in, what, since before the pandemic. But, and I may be remembering this wrong, but I don't know how many times on our July, you know, we typically would time it right around the time of the July report. I don't know how many times we got up there and you know, the numbers, we were like, oh, man, these are negative numbers. They're bad numbers. And then between the July report and the August report, the darn market would sit there and rally. So and vice versa. I mean, there definitely were a couple of times when I can remember us being kind of bulled up and the market would, you know, just about, you know, crash 5 cents over the following week. But my recollection is that typically we get a little bit of an odd counter seasonal rally, you know, between the July and the August report. So that may be why we're being so, this thing is so stubborn in terms of going down.
All right. Any other final thoughts? All right.
Pat, if I can, one more time, give Kip a opportunity to take a bow. And if he doesn't want to claim it, that's okay. But in my mind, in my recollection, he has warned us more about bamboo than anyone else has. And I just sense that the industry does not see that. Certainly they have to see it. You know, Ray Charles can see it, so I don't know why the industry doesn't see it. But anybody hadn't worn any bamboo before, it's not good. It's not a good sign. As I heard one prominent cotton industry representative say one time, I don't, quote unquote, I don't wear much polyester. I just fell out of my chair with the think that he would wear any polyester. But if you wear any bamboo, it'd be hard to wear anything else. So the consumer's going to see that, is seeing that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. We have to remember that person's wearing polyester the same way a whole lot of people are now, maybe polyester and bamboo, and that's because it's for price points. And consumers now are really getting strapped with this inflation, and you got to look at those relative price levels for the consumer. And right now, bamboo's got a lot of marketing involved in it, but what it does have and what polyester has are relative cheap prices. And I think that's the biggest determinator for the U.S. consumer right now, given the strong inflation. And I know we've seen a little bit of a respite here recently, but we're still a long way from where we need to be. And a lot of consumers are really having trouble with letting a lot of the fashion and clothing being top on their list. So,
all right.
Again, go back to your thoughts about demand.
Let's wrap things up. I want to thank Gerald for leading us today and also thank our cotton panel. Thanks to BASF for sponsoring our program. And that concludes this edition of the Ag Market Network.